It's important. In Mark 13, Jesus has been spending all this time in Palestine. He's been in Judea. He has been in Galilee. He has spent time in Samaria. He's gone over on the Transjordan side. He's spent all of his life in an area that's about 100 miles north-south and about 30, 35 miles east-west. Not a very big space. Basically, from here to San Antonio, from I-35 over to 281. That's basically the box that Jesus lived almost all of his life in. And now as he is coming in the last week of his life, in the very last week of his life, he has cleansed the temple. He has confronted religious leaders with all kinds of the questions that they could bring. Jesus has come through all of that. And now he is going to take a moment. And he's going to talk to them. Let me read just a little bit from Mark 13. It wasn't me. It was her. You're supposed to read this. I had this sense that somebody was reading this and it wasn't me. Come here.
Our passage is from Mark 13, verses 32 through 37. No one knows when that day or time will be. Not the angels in heaven, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. Be careful. Always be ready. Because you don't know when the time will be. It's like a man who goes on a trip. He leaves his house and he lets his servants take care of it, giving each one a special job to do. The man tells the servant guarding the door, always be watchful. So, always be ready, because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back. It might be in the evening, or at midnight, or in the morning while it's still dark, or when the sun rises. Always be ready. Otherwise, he might come back suddenly and find you sleeping. I tell you this, and I say this to everyone, be ready.
You were ready. Thank you. Jesus wants to make this point. And so as he comes out of the temple, the disciples say, Teacher, look at these massive stones and these magnificent buildings. There's a slide that's going to come up now of Jerusalem. You may be able to see that at the back. And in this place, there are massive stones. You, as you look at it, this wall right there is 223 feet high. That is what is called the pinnacle of the temple. That is in the temptations of Jesus. That's where he was going to jump from. It's about 223 feet high. And these are massive stones. This is the retaining wall that Herod the Great built. The temple would have been in this area in the time of Christ. It's no longer there. They have these Muslim mosques now. But these are great stone works. Show the next slide. Here's another picture of one of those great walls. The people are walking out of the temple and they're saying, see these great stones? Thank you. Look how they're put together. You can take that down. Now, and Jesus says, do you see all these buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. And as Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew ask him privately, tell when all these things happen, and what will be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled? He asked the question, you talked about these walls being torn down. You talked about destruction. When's that going to happen? So Jesus begins to talk about a time that is coming. And as he talks about the time that's coming, he talks about two times that are coming. He talks about a time that is coming pretty soon. We'll finally come in AD 70 when the Romans come through Jerusalem and destroy the temple and tear much of it down. And he talks about another time that is yet to come, when Jesus will come and the end of all things will come about. The first prophecy is the one that is interesting to many folks. And folks love coming through this little apocalypse in Mark chapter 13 to try to figure out the end of the world and the time of everything. And what does the rise of Iran mean? What does the rise of Iraq? What does the fall in the stock market mean? Is it all in here somewhere like it is in Revelation? But Jesus has very interesting things to say. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is not to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pangs. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you're arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death. A father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. In this passage, he says, there's a time that's coming, and it is going to be just the time of the great warfare between what is good and what is evil. Ministry in this world is going to have tensions and trials. Ministry in the kingdom of God is going to be surrounded by famine and earthquake, fire. Ministry is going to take place in political arenas. There are going to be governments that rise and kingdoms that fall. And ministry is taking place in those places. Ministry is taking place against the existing religious forms. And there will be synagogues and powers of various kinds of religions that when you try to speak the name of Jesus, they will grab you and haul you in. This is not the end. This is leading to the end. This is birth pangs about the end. But this isn't the end. This is normal. People get all excited. What are we watching for in all this? This is just what happens. This is what happens in the world as Christians leave Pentecost, leave and go out led by the Holy Spirit. This is the world they go into. The world is unsettled. The kingdoms are unsettled. The religions in opposition are unsettled. Families are unsettled. This is the world you're going to live in every day. And when you go out, don't worry about how you're going to speak to those unsettled situations. Be confident that the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And so, for us, My great urging this morning is as you read what Jesus says here in verse 5 down through verse 13, my urging to you would be for you to be able to see that all of that turbulence and all of that unrest is what we would call normal. And has it been normal this week? Has it been normal this week? Has it been normal to hear of governments in turmoil? Has it been normal this week to hear of economies in turmoil? This last week, I was watching a show on television, and when the person on television asked the other person, "What do you believe?" the lady said, "I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God." And the other person on the television gave her a fist bump. Way to go. Way to go. Now, for the life of me, I can't figure out how atheists would get fired up about atheism. Because it just seems to me that's an interesting thing to be passionate about. But the Gallup poll, the poll that has just come out, says that now about 20 to 25% of the American public is claiming to be godless. A stunning move, an apocalyptic move in the faith statements of the American population. What is this? This is normal. This is normal. And Jesus says, sitting down on the Mount of Olives, looking at that very sight we saw in the first picture, down the valley and up on the Temple Mount, Jesus says, this is the way it's going to be. Now then, in verse 14, He does change and does have something that He wants to say. He says, you're going to see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it doesn't belong. Let the reader understand, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And He talks about what that will be like. And in fact, the early Christians read this, knew this, and as the days approached, as the Romans were coming, and you'll read different people, some people say that the Romans set up the abominations in the temple courts. Some will say that the Jewish zealots set up the abominations in the temple courts. But in the days before AD 70, the Christians saw those things happening, and many of the Christians escaped out of Jerusalem to the city of Pella. And when the Romans came, many of the Christians weren't there in Jerusalem. They had gone. They had listened to what Jesus had said in the teaching in Mark 13. They had listened. They had paid attention. They had been watchful. And when the signs of this kind of abomination of the temple, of sacrifices being offered that shouldn't be offered, or people that shouldn't be there standing in the temple being desecrated, they left. They left. And so the word that Jesus gave them was a good word, and they attended to it. And so what's interesting is that in the first prophecy, where Jesus tells people to be watchful, the first body of people were watchful, did listen, and were saved as the Christians went to Pella. Now we're going to skip verse 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send His angels and gather His elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. And then the reading that we have already heard, reminding us to keep watch because you don't know when the owner of the house is returning. And Jesus saying to all of us, watch. I think it's great. It's marvelous to be able to hear Jesus tell us what normal upheaval and disruption in life is like. I think it's wonderful that there is this story of Jesus giving the early Christians a word that helped them to escape the destruction that the Romans were bringing. But now the great task is for us to listen. For us to listen and hear Jesus warning that the Lord is coming and the end is near. Several weeks ago when the marathon was running, we found out we were going to be on mile 25. And so with a little help from Annette, we made a sign that said the end is near. And we held it out on the running path so that the runners coming by with their lungs hanging out of their mouth could have something that they could laugh at as they gasped their last breath. The end is near. And really, what we were doing, we were stepping into a caricature of religious folks. Religious folks are expected to say things like, the end is near. But in fact, for Christians, the end is always near. Perhaps we could enter into this world in Mark 13. And we could sit out front and we could look and someone could say, look at these great stones over there at the bullock. And look at that marvelous architecture down at the Blanton. And then someone could say, and look at this great building here that we've had since 1949. And look at the great library tower. And look down at the Capitol building. Look at these great stones. Look what men and women have done. Look how clever we are. And look what buildings we make for our institutions of power and learning. Look at these stones. Someone could even say, did you see that architectural drawing? Did you see that deck? Did you see that stained concrete floor down there on the bottom level? Did you see all those wonderful awnings and roofs? Did you see all of that? What great buildings. But if Jesus were to stand among us out on our front lawn and look at all these buildings, He would tell us basically what He told Peter and Andrew and James and John. There's a day coming when all of this cleverness, all of this ingenuity, all of this architectural wonder won't amount to a hill of beans. There's a day coming. There's a day coming when all of this will come to nothing. There won't be a Blanton, there won't be a Bullock, there won't be this building, there won't be a library tower, there won't be a Capitol, there won't be the street that I can't find. But there comes a day when God says, it's enough. It's enough. It's enough of this world. Now it's time to establish the kingdom of God in heaven and to bring all of God's men and women home and let eternity begin. Now is the time. That day is coming. The Son says He doesn't know when it is. The Father knows when it is. And as Christians, we know that day is coming. So what does that mean in terms of the way we live? It's really quite simple. We must live with our mind totally focused on the only thing that is going to survive out of this world into that future. And the only thing that's going to survive out of this world into that future is the people. The people. The people will survive into that future. Men and women will stand before God. Men and women will have or will not have Jesus Christ as their Savior. People will come into eternity, prepared or not prepared, but all that matters as we face eternity is the people. The buildings will be gone. The world, as we know it, will be gone. All that survives is the people. And so, if we are going to have a building, the building must be for the people. If we're going to have a living room, it must be for the people. If we're going to have a budget, it must be about the people. If we're going to have something about Longhorns for Christ, it has got to be about the people. And when you see 55 or 60,000 students across the street, it ought to cause our hearts to rise with passion for ministry and connection and desire, because the students will survive. The buildings will be gone. The stadium won't survive, but 110,000 people that can sit in it will. And so for us, it matters, and it matters today. Because our passion for the people, just as Jesus was passionate about getting the Christians out of Jerusalem in AD 70, He's passionate about getting all of the men and women of this world to safety now. And safety now is not moving from Jerusalem to Pella, but it's moving from darkness to light. Safety now is moving from outside of Christ to inside of Christ. Safety now is moving from where sin initiates slavery to where there is a slavery to righteousness. It is a move from where there is the continuing presence of the spirit of darkness to a place where there is the continuing presence of the spirit of holiness. And so as a church, we can be very attentive to our buildings, but none of this survives. So we are asked to watch. Now, watch doesn't mean sit and watch. Watch means live watching. Live watching. Live watchfully. Live never forgetting the priorities. Never forgetting what is important. Never, ever, ever lose focus that the reason for our life is the people. And the salvation of the world is our passion, and the salvation of the world begins with the world that is nearest to us. I live on a street where all of the people on that street have moved into their houses since last October 1st. There comes a day when not one of those houses will survive. But all of those baby-pushing, dog-walking, plant-transplanting, jogging in the middle of the night folks, they'll all live. They'll all live. And so let's look at the glass. And let's look at the wall. And let's look at all of the little decorative pieces in here, including what looks like the end of a giant Venetian blind cord. Let's look at all of this. And then turn and look at the persons next to you. Look at them. Look at them. You'd rather look at the building, wouldn't you? That's right. Right, we'd rather look at these marvelous stones and think that all of our life is about these stones. It's not. It's about the people. And this morning, if you're a person who knows that with all of your heart it's time for you to turn your heart to Jesus, we'd invite you to come as we stand and sing.